Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up to the claw on this Monday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Auction Community Studios, which once again, originating from Gambo's house here in Ahwatukee. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only John Gambo. Oh, hi, Gambo!
Burnsy, what's going on?
Be careful. A little puppy over there might be chewing on our cable that connects us to the station.
Listen.
So I just want you to...
Listen, lover boy. Yeah, we've had this...
Time out on the floor. Let's throw it in reverse for 10 seconds. Yeah. Sarah and I are the same thing. Sarah, you heard what I heard. You refer to the dog as Loverboy?
Loverboy. He's a great dog.
I thought he was talking about you, Burnsy.
my wife loves animals, right? You know, my wife with the whales and the dolphins and saving all the animals. Hey, stop chewing
on
the wire.
He's chewing on the cord.
Stop chewing on the wire. My God.
This is a fine story. Get the dog to stop chewing on the wire. Otherwise, we're not doing a radio show today.
So I got the dog in the room with us because Chelsea's out. So this little Yorkie poo. And we've forced the dogs before, and I never get attached to him. But I, really like this one. He is cool. He even slept on our bed last night. First time. She's got him potty trained and everything. He jumps in the pool. He's 3 months old. He swims in the pool. I'm like, this is a cool dog. So we got a week to decide whether we're going to let it go up for adoption or we're going to keep it. I don't know.
Sounds like a winner to me.
I don't know. I mean, because it affects the other dog. Because the other dog, he's like, well, what's going on here? I've been an only child my whole life.
Okay. Well, I mean, whatever you want to do. Just so long as we get to do a four-hour radio show today.
Unbelievable dog.
Because we have a lot to talk about today. We have a lot to get into.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. DeAndre Ayton. Oh, but it didn't matter. We'll weigh in on our top story of the day right now here on the Burns and Gambo show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in.
Shot clock down to 7 seconds. Booker way out on the perimeter. May need some help. He's going to have to put up a long three.
Oh, my!
Shazam! Oh, how about that from the parking lot by D. Booker? Wow.
Yeah, way downtown, bang, for Devin Booker from the logo, basically, with clock running down. It was a ragged game to start. The Suns were down 37-23 at the end of the first quarter, a first quarter in which they were clearly discombobulated by the absence of DeAndre Ayton, whom we'll get into in just a moment. But over the final three quarters of that game, the Suns outscored the Thunder 42-17, 33-17, 30-20. Devin Booker goes for 35 on 17 shots, and the Suns win going away 128-101.
Put 35 in the books for Booker, right?
Right.
Hey, to play in tomorrow, just give him 35. He's going to get 35. Does it not seem like he's just a 35-point machine right now?
It does seem
Devin Booker?
As if that, yes.
You know, it was a close game. Obviously we'll get into the DeAndre Ayton's, situation in a second. They were down by 15. They were able to take the lead. I thought they really took control of the game in the third quarter. Booker hit back-to-back three-pointers, to put him up by 16. But just early on, it was a lot of Booker and some really good plays from DeAndre Ayton, a couple of dunks. And they just slowly... quickly pulled away from a completely undermanned Oklahoma City team in that third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what made all of this so frustrating was because you saw who the Thunder weren't playing today. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, no. Danilo Gallinari, no. Dennis Schroeder, no. Steven Adams, no. Nerlens Noel, no. But, and Eddie made reference to this a couple times during the TV broadcast, man, give it up in the first half anyway to Chris Paul, who was playing very, very hard and seemed very determined to prove he didn't need those guys. But you kind of knew eventually that as long as the Suns could tighten down the screws a little bit and get their game in order, that eventually Oklahoma City would call off the dogs. Because if I'm not mistaken, they played yesterday, too.
They did play yesterday, back-to-back.
So they're on the second day of a back-to-back. They're missing five guys. Chris Paul is an older player. They don't want to wear him out. You knew eventually they were going to kind of back off. And I think once the Suns went on that run, that spurt to start the third quarter the way they did.
Put it away.
Oklahoma City just kind of went, okay, we're good. Never mind. We got nothing here.
Yeah, they played hard until you get punched in the mouth, right? I mean, that was the whole thing. That was a boxing analogy. Somebody will fight you hard until you hit them really good in the mouth, and then they stop fighting. When the Suns hit him in the mouth in the third quarter, they were like, okay, that's it. We can't compete. The Suns are playing for something. Oklahoma City wasn't. This is the danger. of judging, you know, judging a team based on other teams that you're playing, you know, meaningless games. And the Suns are playing several teams that are playing meaningless basketball games. The Suns are playing for real.
Sure.
You know, they're trying to get into the playoffs.
The only thing the Thunder are playing for, honestly, is to avoid slipping down to the sixth seed. They could still catch Houston for fourth.
Everybody.
They sat everybody. Yeah, I'm looking for reasons what Oklahoma City has to play for, and right now it would be avoiding the Rockets in the first round so they could play the Nuggets in the first round instead. I mean,
Who would you rather play? I might rather play the Rockets.
I'd probably rather play the Rockets.
Yeah.
I think their style makes them more vulnerable.
Yeah.
I think Denver is an absolute team to fear. But for Oklahoma City, they'd have to lose to play Denver. But back to the Suns. Okay, Suns win. Devin Booker goes off. He goes for 35, as Gamble points out. They got help from other areas as well today. Cam Johnson, good first half in particular. He had 18 points. Mikal Bridges rediscovered his three-point shot. He was 5 of 8 from the three-point line. He had 18 points. Those two combined, Bridges and Cam Johnson, combined for 9 out of 16 from the three-point line.
Good to see Mikal, you know, hit some shots there, you know. Good to see Mikal hit some shots.
Let's talk about DeAndre Ayton,
okay,
who was not available in the first quarter of this game because apparently he missed a COVID test that he was supposed to take. The window during which he was supposed to get tested, he missed it. He scrambled to get a test, then scrambled to get to the arena. He rode that little air bike on the side to get himself warmed up, and eventually he played the game. But in the first quarter, they clearly were out of sorts without Ayton starting and Saric in his place.
Look, inexcusable. Let's not make excuses. You know, you've got to know what time you're supposed to take the test. You've got to know what the rules are. And if they would have, you know, they got a 15-point hole because he, you know, he wasn't there. And obviously they were out of sorts. You know, had to start Dario Saric, and they went very small. I spoke with the player in the bubble just a short time ago. And that player told me that it's very likely that he just thought that he could take the test after the game because the Suns had an early game. Now, every team takes the test at their own team hotel. You can come earlier than scheduled. You cannot come later. If you're scheduled to have a test at 11 and you want to come at 9 or 10 and you want to get it over with, you can come earlier, go back to your room, take a nap, whatever you want to do. You cannot come later than the time that is scheduled. So you cannot say, I got a game at 11, let me come at 2. Can I come at 2? Can I come at 3? Mm-hmm. After the game's over, you are not allowed to come later. So that's where the issue came in, is that he may have thought that he could take the test later. And now we'll find out for sure. But again, this is me just talking with a player in the bubble. And he said it's likely, you know, that he just thought that that he could have taken the test later because they had an early game.
Our own Kellen Olson, who is obviously preparing to get on the Zoom call with Monty and others from the Suns, just tweeted out 2 minutes ago, after asking for him, we will not be speaking with DeAndre Ayton after the game. So a direct explanation from Ayton as to why he missed this test, why he was not available at the start of the game, we will not be getting. And instead, we'll get Monty's explanation of it. Perhaps other players will be asked about it as well, the impact of Ayton. Look, I don't want to
dodge a bullet.
I don't want. Yeah,
If they lost that game, you tell me, what would have been worse? A 25-game suspension for DeAndre Ayton, or he doesn't play in this game to Oklahoma City and they lose because he missed a COVID test?
I'm inclined to say he doesn't play in this game because he missed a COVID test, so given this, everything that's on the line.
So 25 games in the beginning of the season compared to one game at the end, this game might, if he had missed this game and they lost, this might have been worse.
Yep.
Yeah, it's inexcusable. Like, we're not going to make excuses for him. It's inexcusable. You need to know when you're supposed to take the test and how. Now, there are different buses that go to the games. There is, you know, for his game, there was probably, you know, like a 10 o'clock bus or, you know, an 11 o'clock bus. And then, again, you know, from what I spoke with the player, said, listen, I can't, this is just what I heard. I can't promise you this. They test every day. Every single day they test these players. And you can go early or not later. And maybe they're open till 7 o'clock at night at the hotel. 7 o'clock at night. You could take tests from early in the morning up till 7 o'clock at night. Is it possible that he thought that he could take the test after the game?
It is, but that doesn't give me a good enough reason. You know, okay, you're forgiven. You know, and look, they won. So whatever reaction we have to DeAndre Ayton has been really muted by the fact that they not only won, they won going away, right? At that first quarter, Suns Nation was furious with DeAndre Ayton. Your Twitter line was jammed up with it. So was mine. Fans who, and I was furious at DeAndre Ayton because there's,
I was on the treadmill running when I was running. When I saw it, I was like, are you kidding me?
I was the same.
And so I'm running, and one of the worst things for me is when I have to text and run at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to text people to find out what's going on while I'm running. I'm like, you know, it was like, and at that point, you're like, how long is he going to miss?
Sure.
How much time is he going to miss? And I'll tell you what, if Oklahoma City had played their players, if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Steven Adams and Danilo Gallinari and Dennis Schroeder, if those guys had played, and they got down by 15. The Suns did. Maybe they don't come back from a 15-point deficit. Maybe they don't come back. You know, I don't know how many lessons. Listen, everybody says, oh, lesson learned. At some point, you got to stop learning lessons.
Yes.
And just be a professional.
That's exactly it.
Right?
Stop learning lessons. At some point, you got to say, I'm a professional athlete. This is my job. I'm responsible for myself. I got to take care of this. And the fact that it didn't burn them today, the fact that they dodged this bullet is a relief. But at the same time, every time we hear or read or see, hey, DeAndre Ayton's growing up. Is he? He does one of these things, whether it's 25-game suspension or now he misses the COVID test, and you wonder how much growing up has he actually done. Now, I'll tell you quickly. The conference call with Monty is going on right now. And I'm reading off of Kellen Olson's Twitter account here. Monty said getting tested every day is different for everyone, can be confusing to get it done and remember. Said guys are going to make mistakes, and it happens. Monty said he's had a handful of moments during his day in the bubble where he has to double-check to remember whether he got his testing done or not because he can't remember. Monty called DeAndre Ayton missing the COVID-19 test a mistake, but he said he even questions himself on whether he's taken the test on a daily basis or not. He called it a blip of a distraction and that it was not intentional. Again, Monty's words.
Of course it wasn't intentional, but it doesn't matter that it wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
What matters is it's your responsibility.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, more on DeAndre Ayton, but more specifically about the Phoenix Suns. What's the situation now, including the very latest on who the Philadelphia 76ers or will not play tomorrow?
Big news.
That's next on the Burns and Gambo show. Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. The Phoenix Suns 6-0 in the bubble, 128-101 over an Oklahoma City Thunder team that was not playing all of their guys clearly on the second night of a back-to-back. But the Suns get 35 from Devin Booker, 5 players in double figures, including DeAndre Ayton, who had 10 points, 6 rebounds, despite only playing 17 minutes. He missed the start of this game. The news that I teased is Joel Embiid has been ruled out, will not play tomorrow for the Philadelphia 76ers against the Suns. So no Ben Simmons, no Joel Embiid, and the help keeps coming for the Phoenix Suns because, once again, Gambo, they need all the help they can get.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's not a matter of them anymore. They need somebody to beat the Portland Trailblazers, or they need the Memphis Grizzlies. Here's how it works. For the Suns to get into playoffs, they have to win both of their remaining games. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, okay? They have to win both games. They need Portland to lose one of their two, or they need Memphis to lose both. Memphis is playing Milwaukee and Boston. Portland is playing Brooklyn and Dallas. Brooklyn's playing hard. They've been one of the best teams in the bubble. The three best teams in the bubble, Brooklyn, Portland, and the Suns, all teams that are, you know, playing hard, desperate teams. A lot of those guys on the Nets are playing their asses off trying to keep jobs next year. Now, maybe they don't play Caris LeVert, I don't know. I did hear that the Celtics are expected to play their guys tomorrow, that they are expected to play hard against Memphis. They did not like the way they played against Orlando. So they are very likely, my understanding, what I heard, was the Celtics will play their players tomorrow. They will try to win that game. And then maybe the Washington game at the end of the season. They want to get on a little bit of a roll. They want to get some rhythm going, you know, going into the playoffs. So they are expected to play hard tomorrow. And then maybe the Washington game is when they'll take that game off.
I hope you're right. Because the Suns, look, it's a very simple equation at this point. Somebody's got to lose for the Suns to get a chance to get in. If Memphis doesn't lose a game the rest of the way out, the Suns can't pass them.
Well, Memphis can even lose one, and the Suns can't pass them, right? Because they lose the tiebreaker. Don't the Suns lose the tiebreaker with Memphis?
If
the Suns go 2-0, Memphis goes 1-1,
then the Suns can't pass them. Yeah, if the Memphis Grizzlies win just one game.
The Suns can't pass
them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The Suns can't pass them if they win just one game. So you need Memphis to lose out. And thank you for clarifying things, because it gets a little wonky sometimes. You need Memphis to go 0-2 if you're going to pass them. You need Portland to go 1-1 if you're going to pass them. And even then, you have to go undefeated in these last two games if you're the Suns, if you're going to pass Portland.
That's why I'm giving you the good news. The Celtics are going to play their players from what I'm hearing. They're not going to sit everybody. They'll sit everybody against Washington. They're going to try to win the game against Memphis tomorrow to get in a little bit of a rhythm. So I expect that the Boston Celtics will beat Memphis tomorrow. Then it will be up to Milwaukee. Will Milwaukee play hard against Memphis in that final game of the season for both teams?
Yeah. So Memphis, and that's the fear there. Then Portland, they've got the Mavs on Tuesday. They've got the Nets on Thursday. Those are the two teams. And the Suns need one of those teams to rise up and beat the Portland Trailblazers, who are obviously playing for everything. Now, what happened yesterday, Pelicans were officially eliminated. The Kings were officially eliminated. The Spurs, of course, are still in this conversation.
Yes.
But we are now guaranteed of a play-in scenario in 8-9.
Guaranteed.
Just a question of who's going to get it. And we even know what time the game is going to be. They'll play once on Saturday. I believe it's 11:30 Arizona time. And then if the 9 seed beats the 8 seed on Saturday, they'll play again on Sunday to determine who the 8 seed is. So the games will be on Saturday and, if necessary, on Sunday. But the Suns still have to go 2-0 to get there, still need Memphis to not win a game, and still need Portland to lose at least one of these two remaining games to open that window and give them a shot.
Well, tomorrow, when me and you are in the virtual fan bubble, we will be rooting for the Suns to get that win.
Well, tomorrow, it's all going to be going on at the same time. The Celtics take on the Grizzlies, 2 o'clock Arizona time. The Trailblazers take on the Mavericks, 3:30 Arizona time. The Suns take on the Sixers, 1:30 Arizona time. It's all coming down tomorrow from 1:30 until about 6, where we'll get a very clear idea of the Suns while we're sitting in the virtual bubble or in
that's
the virtual
right.
stands.
You will be in the a virtual fan tomorrow, Dave Burns.
As will you, Gambo, yes. DeAndre Ayton, he did not play in the first quarter. Here's the Monty Williams sound that we promised, because this is fresh. This is right off of the Zoom call, and I want to play this for you.
Okay.
He was asked about Ayton's missed test. Here's what Monty Williams had to say about that.
Listen, I've said from day one, we had to navigate the uncertainty. And getting tested every day is just different for us. And so I find myself, I'll test in the morning and we'll get to about 4 or 5 o'clock and I'll like ask myself questions like, did I test? You know, you just get confused by it. And I know I'm not the only one that's done that. So we've said in the NBA season, there's going to be guys are going to make mistakes. You have to be able to give people grace. It wasn't intentional. And thankfully, he was able to get tested early enough to get the results back so he could come and play.
Okay, a lot of the quotes there that I read.
Yeah, I mean, Monty could look at it that way. It's hard. DeAndre cost the team 25 games this year. And listen, it's not the end of the world. Just be more responsible. Make sure you know. Can't take a chance of missing a game, missing a quarter. It just can't happen.
Monty was asked if Ayton's missed test was a distraction to the team early on.
You know, there's different distractions. You know what I mean? It wasn't a negative distraction. It was just like, you know, a blip on the screen type of distraction, because you know it's not intentional. You know it can happen to you. So I wouldn't call it a distraction that had everybody down. Obviously, he's a huge part of our team. When we got the news that, you know, he had tested early and he could, you know, possibly come back, you know, that took away some of that. But, and I'm not trying to diminish, you know, what happened, but it has happened here in the bubble, because this is a new thing for us. And you just have to kind of check yourself all day long. Like, you know, did I test myself, or did I test myself yesterday, or did I do it this morning? It's just the way it has been for us. here in this bubble.
I want to play one more for you. This is Monty. Did you consider sitting Ayton for longer than you did as some sort of a punishment, even the whole game? And I guess on this one, he got a little testy about it.
I just talked to you guys about it, right? It's over with. I'm not going to get into what I was going to do if it's over with.
And he's ready to move on.
Fair to question him. You know, listen, you can't – here's the thing. Always discipline's always tough. You can't punish the rest of the team for DeAndre's mistake. So you can't be like, you're not going to play at all, because then you punish everybody who's been busting their ass to win these basketball games. Mm-hmm. You want to punish DeAndre, you punish him in another way, but you don't take it out on the rest of the players that are working hard to win these basketball games.
It's a very difficult time to send a message to a guy to bench him in the middle of this, right? In this particular set of circumstances, it's a big ask of Monty to say, sit him for a half, sit him for a game, send a message, punish him. You're fighting for your very basketball playoff life. Is this really the moment where you need to send a message to DeAndre Ayton? And to your point, at whose expense? At Devin Booker's expense?
No.
Whom you're trying to build trust bridge with? At Mikal Bridges' expense, Ricky Rubio's expense, everybody else's expense.
No.
It's a real tough time to go ask Imani Williams to make an example out of DeAndre Ayton when you need every single win in this bubble that you can possibly get to even give yourself a shot at going to the postseason for the first time in a decade.
You can't. You just can't do it. I mean, if you wanted to punish DeAndre another way, you could do that, but you don't do it in these games. Kid made a mistake. You hate that again, but he made another mistake. Like, eventually, you just want to grow up and not make as many mistakes. Stop making mistakes. It didn't cost the Suns. They were able to win that game handily. But, it could have been dangerous. I mean, what if you were playing a team today that was playing all their players and were playing hard and were playing to win? You got a break because you played an Oklahoma City team that barely, again, once you punched them in the mouth in that third quarter, they were like, okay, I don't want to fight anymore. That's it.
Suns, Sixers tomorrow. No Joel Embiid, no Ben Simmons. Scoreboard watching tomorrow at the virtual exact same time the Suns are playing the Sixers. Memphis is playing Boston. Gambo says everybody on the Celtics is going to play.
Expecting them to play everybody and play hard, yes.
You need Boston to win that game badly. And Portland at virtually the same time playing the Mavericks tomorrow. You need Portland to lose one of their two remaining games. Those are the things that's going on for the Suns. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, he has been a disappointment. The last two starts, you could say he's been a major disappointment for the D-backs. And now, no surprise, Madison Bumgarner is headed to the injured list. Details next on the Burns and Gambo show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
We welcome Sarah Cazell back into the show. She's got today's Twitter poll question of the day. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. Suns
win.
The chaos continues.
Yes,
and now tomorrow becomes an infinitely huge day for the Phoenix Suns and Suns fans to see how this all shakes out.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that craziness tomorrow. But in the meantime, what is our crazy poll question of the day today? Here?
Well, you guys just touched on this topic in the last segment. DeAndre Ayton, of course, missing the first quarter after missing his coronavirus testing window yesterday. So the question is, do you agree with Monty Williams' decision to play Ayton from the second quarter on? Here are the three options to vote on. Yes, I agree. The game is too important to keep him out. Ayton should have sat the first half, or he should have sat the whole game.
Yes, I agree. The game is too important. Play him the minute he's available to be played. Save your lessons for another day.
Yes, 100%. Not even a question.
Yeah. This is pretty clear cut for our listeners as well. 81% say, yep, play the dude. The game is just too important. Now is not the time to be teaching lessons. 11%, though, think he should have sat the whole game.
True.
8% say he should have sat the first half.
Wow. Wait, how many said he should have sat the whole game?
11%, and it actually just went up a little bit.
What are people thinking? No, seriously, somebody in that 11%, tell me what you're thinking. I'm dying to know. You want to hurt the rest of the team by not playing him. You want to send a statement now. What, they've won five games in a row, they're playing our asses off, and you want to punish the rest of the team because of a mistake DA made. I want to hear from one of those 11%. How do you justify that?
6-0 now when it's all said and done. All right, that's the Twitter poll question of the day. Good one. I'll be curious to see if that number rises or declines. In the meantime, Put this under the least surprising thing, I think, of the day. I had a feeling this was coming after watching that game yesterday. Torey Lovello, after Madison Bumgarner gives up four home runs to the first 11 batters he faced in losing to the San Diego Padres, they took him out due to back spasms.
I elected to remove him from the game because of back spasms in his mid-back. Those are obviously tough decisions for me, but I felt like it was the right thing to do with him trying to gut it out, but it was time to turn it over to the bullpen.
Today, the Diamondbacks put Bumgarner on the 10-day injured list with a mid-back strain. They have selected the contract of right-handed pitcher Jeremy Beasley from the alternate training site. Beasley's 24 years old. He'll make his Major League debut. He was acquired on January 14th from the Angels for pitcher Matt Andrees.
Did they say he was taking Bumgarner's spot in rotation?
Did not say.
Okay, I would have thought that was Alex Young from everything that I've been told in the past. That
I would assume
Alex Young.
That it would be too.
Yeah, yes. And I'll try to get confirmation on that. Look, here's the reality. Bumgarner's terrible right now. And it's just terrible. I mean, it's... I was speaking with a major league manager the other day as a lot of the stuff was going down, and it's just, you know, and a former major league pitcher, and I was speaking with and a current major league pitcher. I was speaking with so many people, and here's the reality: you can't live at 88 miles per hour in this league. It is the absolute perfect pitch for a major league hitter. 88 miles per hour. You could be lower or you could be higher, but you can't be at 88. He's trying to live at 88 because his velocity is down. And I had somebody send me some extended stats on, you know, his fastball velocity and his cutter velocity. I mean, Burnsy, he's living at 88 on the fastball. It used to be 91, 91.7, 91.4, 93, 92.8. And you know, what I was told was you cannot live at 88 miles per hour. You will get – it is the perfect – if you asked a Major League Baseball player, what is the perfect speed of a fastball that you want? 88. Give me 88. They'll all say it. It's perfect.
Yeah.
You're better to throw 84 than you are to throw 88, and that's the truth.
Mad Bum's numbers are brutal. They're terrible across the board. Hits per nine, walks per nine, strikeouts per nine. Four home runs allowed yesterday. He lasted only two innings. Those four homers, as I mentioned, came the first 11 batters he faced. He said, yes, the back definitely affected me when he was on the mound. He thought he could gut it out. He could not.
It would just grab me. It what seemed like random times to me. Some, you know, that one delivery, it seemed like it might kind of grab me, is how I would describe it, like maybe three times, and the next one it might not do it at all, but you're waiting for it. So it's just, it was tough. It was aggravating.
I hope this is real. Like, I hope this is the reason why. I do. I hope it's not just I'm going to put him on a 10-day because something's wrong. We got to figure it out. I do hope that it is a back injury. I mean, I didn't, you know, if he was injured, you know, before the game, you're not going to pitch him. If he had a back injury before the game. Now, if something tightened up and he felt a tweak and Lavelle took him out after two because he had to come out of the game because he couldn't get anybody out. Now,
right. The
back injury, again, I hope that is the reason why. I really do because they paid $85 million for this guy. $85 million. And my wife said to me, she goes, this guy was such a great pitcher. Why is everybody so down on him? I'm like, honey, you don't understand. They're paying him $85 million, not for what he did in the past, but what they expect him to do going forward.
Of course.
People aren't happy with that. Because my wife was like, everybody's so, you know, ripping, mad, calling him a bum instead of a mad bum. And, you know, Chelsea was trying to understand, like, why everybody is so down. He's pitching poorly, but he's been so, so great his whole career. I explained, hey, $85 million isn't what he did with the Giants. It's what he's going to do for the next 5 years. People aren't happy. They spent $85 million on a guy. Right now, he looks like another version of Russ Ortiz.
Mm-hmm. He does. And look, back injury or not, and the way the story goes, he felt it a couple of times in the middle of the night before his start. He showed up to the ballpark. He had some treatment. Everyone decided, huddle up. Okay, we're going to fight through it. We're going to push through it. You can pitch with this. The one home run, what was it? The Tatis home run where Peralta literally didn't take a single step. And Mad Bum, as soon as he threw it, he cursed. As soon as he threw the pitch, you saw the contact from Tatis.
That was,
and the word went out, and you couldn't bleep it out even if you wanted to, because he knew that thing was long, long, long.
I believe that was the first pitch of the game, or the first bat of the game. Was that the Tatis? Because he gave up two homers in the first inning. He gave up two.
No, it was Machado and Myers in the first.
Oh, Machado and Myers in the
first. It was Tatis in the second,
Tatis,
where he hung a breaking ball, and as soon as Tatis hit it, you could hear the curse word from my living room. He shouted it so loud, and Peralta didn't take a single step.
They've lost all four of his starts. His ERA is up to 9.35. It was an absolutely brutal. His fastball velocity is down. His cutter velocity is down. His secondary pitchers are not working. He doesn't have a good sinker, so he can't rely on his sinker. And if you're not throwing with any velocity, your slider doesn't look like a slider.
I'm going to keep going back to what you said after the last Mad Bum start where he got rocked against the Houston Astros. I wonder long-term how poor of an investment this could end up being for the Arizona Diamondbacks, but more specifically, I wonder if the unusual offseason just
preparation
didn't allow Madison Bumgarner to deliver the version of himself that he is
possible
to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Possible.
And if that's the case, then he might need longer than 10 days on the injured list to figure out what exactly is wrong. I understand what you're saying. You hope that it's his back. You hope they're not just giving him a 10-day blow. But Madison Bumgarner needs to figure out what's wrong, right? Whether it's his back or whatever it is. Bumgarner's got to figure out why it is that he was so successful in his big league career and suddenly he's serving up batting practice fastballs to everybody around the league. And it's not just him. Campbell, I looked it up today. The Arizona Diamondbacks have allowed 37 home runs as a team so far this season. The next closest team, 28.
Jeez.
The next closest team isn't even in the 30s.
No.
In home runs allowed.
Well, I want to get into the Brendley comment later, and we're going to do that in a little bit because I really want to get into that. We'll do that in the 3 o'clock hour. But, I mean, 6 home runs in the baseball game. It's, you know, you've won one game so far. And here's the other thing. I mean, I said this to my wife. Here's the problem. He's only pitching 12 games this season, Bumgarner. And now it's going to be less. He's pitched 4. So that's already a third of his season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just got word that it is undetermined at this point who will replace him in the rotation. Let me tell you why. This is the word I'm getting right now as we speak. The Diamondbacks expect that they will have to use Alex Young out of the pen in this series against Colorado.
Okay.
So that's why it is undetermined.
Well, makes sense. It's the thin air of Colorado. You tend to go through a lot of pitchers, and even with the expanded roster, let's be honest, given the way Robbie Ray has thrown so far this year, the way Luke Weaver has thrown so far this year, do you really want to go into this counting on extend? I mean, because what, the 3-game series, it would be Ray, Gallen, and Weaver, right?
Yes.
Is that how the series would break
Ray,
down?
Ray, Gallen, Weaver, correct.
Okay.
And Weaver,
I mean,
we'll talk about that in a little bit. He looks like a 3-inning pitcher right now.
Well, another.
I've been talking about an opener.
You have?
I have been talking about an opener.
Another reason why Alex Young might not be ready to move into that rotation just yet.
Again, let me just give you the word I'm getting right now as we speak. I'm getting this word from Colorado. Undetermined right now who is going to replace Bumgarner in the rotation. The D-backs may have to use Alex Young out of the pen in this series versus Colorado. That's why they have not determined who's going to pitch.
He has stepped into the starting five, has been a big reason for the Suns' 6-0 record in Orlando. Suns forward Cam Johnson joins us live from the bubble next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Cam Johnson, who led, in part, the Suns to a win today. He had 18 points. Huge first half, 4 of 8 from the three-point line. We'll talk with Cam Johnson from the bubble as the Suns improved to 6-0 in Orlando and kept their postseason hopes alive. We expect Cam Johnson to call in any moment here. But in the meantime, let's pass along this news to everybody else because we are going through a crazy time right now in college football over the last couple of days, and I expect it's going to get even crazier here over the next couple of days. Brett McMurphy tweeted out 12 minutes ago, the Mountain West has canceled the fall football season because of COVID player health and safety concerns.
It's over.
They will consider playing in the spring. The Mountain West and the MAC are the first two FBS leagues opting not to play. The rumors are that the Big Ten presidents are going to follow suit. If they haven't already, there was a Detroit Free Press report this morning that they had already voted to punt, pardon the pun, on football in the fall and move it to the spring. The Big Ten might announce tomorrow. The Pac-12 might announce tomorrow. no fall football. It's a possibility, at least.
The 26 schools that have opted not to play this fall so far: Air Force, Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, Hawaii, Nevada, New Mexico, San Diego State, San Jose State, UNLV, Utah State, Wyoming, and then all the Mountain West: Akron, Ball State, Bowling Green State, Buffalo, Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan, Kent State, Miami, Northern Illinois, Ohio, Toledo, Western Michigan. It's inevitable, right? I mean, we're all bracing for it. The Big Ten's going to say we're not playing. There is a report today that I thought the Pac-10's going to follow suit, and then we'll see what the SEC and the Big 12 decide to do.
Yeah, there's a belief, and this comes from John Wilner, that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are basically in lockstep with each other. And we'll talk more about this developing story as it comes down. But joining us right now from the bubble in Orlando, Suns 6-0, 128-101 winners over the Oklahoma City Thunder. And our next guest joins us. He had 18 points, 4 of 8 from the three-point line. Cam Johnson, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Cam, congrats again on another great game and another big win. You guys look like you are having some fun.
Oh, yeah, we are for sure. Thank you so much. You know, getting this one today was big for us. We just want to keep it rolling, and they're feeling good right now.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that fun. I mean, how enjoyable is this for you guys to, one, to get the invite, and but second, to play as well as you guys have played?
Yeah, just first and foremost, being here, being able to play, being able to be together as a team is great. And then, you know, we really want to take advantage of this opportunity, and that's what we're doing right now. I feel like we're playing hard, and even, you know, when things aren't looking good, I got some points, you know, against the Mavericks, against the Clippers, and today in the first quarter, we came together pretty well and got it done.
What is it, a one-game-at-a-time mentality? Has that been what it's like since that first game against Washington? You guys have tried not to look too far ahead, but has it basically been just let's take one game at a time?
Yeah, that's it. Control what we can control and take it one game at a time. Obviously, we can't overlook anybody. We can't overlook any day, honestly. Everything we do matters, and so we just got to handle it in the moment. I think we've done a really good job of that.
How disappointing would it be for you personally if this team did not get the eighth or ninth seed?
You know, I feel like we worked hard. We worked hard to put ourselves in position when the odds are stacked against us. And it would be disappointing, but at the end of the day, it would especially be disappointing if we went out. That would hurt a little bit for sure. But, you know, we came here to control what we can control and do what we need to do. And I think if we come out of here playing hard and play hard these next two games, no matter what happens, I think we'll come out of here with our heads held high.
Cam Johnson joins us from the bubble. He had 18 points. Suns beat Oklahoma City big today, and now we'll play the Philadelphia 76ers tomorrow. When it comes to scenarios and scoreboards and the kind of help that you need, how much do you guys talk about it as a group, and how much does your coach, Monty Williams, wish that you wouldn't talk about it that much as a group so you can just focus on yourselves in the middle of all of this?
It's a balance. It's a balance for sure. I think we talk about it. We talk about it. We watch games, and I think it's good to just watch teams and see what everybody's doing and have an awareness of that's good, but I mean, like I said, we need to win our games, and nothing good will come if we lose, and we know that. So as long as I feel like we keep coming in and approaching every game, taking one game at a time and handling what we need to handle, you know, when we watch some of these other teams that we're competing with and maybe root against them a little bit, I don't think it's too dangerous.
I was going to say, that being said, I imagine you guys are very, very familiar with all the scenarios, all the matchups, exactly what help you need, who you need it from, who's sitting guys, who's playing guys, things like that. I mean, that's stuff you guys are very well aware of, I would assume.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. 100%.
Cam, I got to ask you just about DeAndre, you know, missing that first quarter, how difficult it was. You guys got down by 15 points. Were you just a little bit out of sync not having the big guy in there?
Yeah, we were. And just in general, just a little bit of a lack of energy, a lot of a lack of energy. And I think we picked it up. Sorry, Dario's yelling at me. He always yelling at me. we picked it up. And that's what we wanted to do going into the second quarter, was just keep chipping away, and then before you knew it, we were running away with the game.
Yeah, I was talking with a player in the bubble today, and he said, listen, I took my test earlier in the game. You could take the test earlier, you just can't take it later. Was it just a matter of not knowing exactly what time he could take the test?
I don't know. But you know, the good thing is he came back into the game, and we came out with a W, and we can move on and, you know, try to learn from these things and just be better.
Cam Johnson, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Suns beat the Thunder today. Let's talk about your game. We've all made note of it back here, all the work that you've put in, the weight that you've added, the good weight that you've added. How conscious are you of trying to be more than just a three-point shooter, not only in these games, but in your Suns' future moving forward?
Very conscious. You know, I obviously want to bring other things to the court, but you know, when I need to shoot the ball, I'll shoot the ball. So I don't really mind being labeled as a shooter that much. But being able to go out there and do other things is very important to me.
You tell Dario he looks a little bit quicker out there. Has he been running some sprints?
Dario, they say you look quicker. Yeah, he's been running.
Has he been running?
No, he said he hasn't been running. He said he hasn't been running.
He hasn't been.
The same speed. He said it's the same speed.
That's the same speed, huh?
He
looks,
you know,
quicker
maybe
to me.
I agree. I think he is looking quicker.
This is great. I didn't know we were getting a two-for-one today. We're talking to Cam and Dario Saric here on the Burns and Gambo Show. I wasn't expecting that. In terms of what's next for you guys with Philadelphia, the focusing just on that and those 48 minutes and not anything else, is that easy or is that difficult to do?
I think it's kind of easy right now because obviously if we don't focus on those 48 minutes, well, then, you know, we don't have much after that. And that's kind of been our mindset every game. We came into every game with a much must-win approach. And we're playing hard, and I think we're going to continue to do that.
How hard is it to play a team when, you know, Oklahoma sat so many players today, right? Gallinari didn't play, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't play, and Schroeder didn't play. Is it difficult to motivate yourself, or is it easy based on what's at stake for you guys?
It's easy. You could probably tell there's a little bit of a lull early in the first quarter, not playing to our full potential. But like I said, we just have to control what we can control. We can't control who the other team plays. We can't control anything like that. So just going out there, playing hard and getting the win is what we want.
You know, how do you feel? How has the bubble worked as far as, you know, sight lines and virtual? We're going to be virtual fans tomorrow. You'll see us. Maybe we'll hold up a big, you know, Cam Johnson sign tomorrow and we're virtual fans while we're doing our show. But, you know, you see the Lakers have struggled at times. The Clippers have struggled. The Celtics didn't look good against Orlando. Some teams are having a hard time in the bubble. Yet you, the Brooklyn Nets, Portland, those teams are playing very well. What do you attribute it to?
I don't, you know, in basketball, there's some teams get hot sometimes, some teams slow down sometimes. I think that's just what we're seeing now. You can really focus on it because there's not 40 games before and 30 games after that you can look at. But I think, you know, just that's basketball. Some teams get hot, some teams aren't. And right now you're just seeing it all over the place. Guys are pros. Guys are good. Everybody in the league is pretty good. So sometimes you see stuff like that.
Yeah. Cam, congratulations again on the win. You guys have been the talk of the NBA. It's been a blast back here to watch it. I hope you get the sense there in Orlando, however much back here is enjoying what you guys are doing.
Yeah, tell Dario to stop yelling at you.
Dario, stop yelling at me.
Thanks, Cam. We appreciate it. Best of luck tomorrow and the rest of the week, okay?
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Cam.
Cam Johnson joining us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. He had 18 points for the Suns today, who got 35 again from Devin Booker on just 17 shots. Five players in double figures, including Cam Payne, Saric, Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, even DeAndre Ayton, who only played 17 minutes after missing much of the first half because he missed a COVID test and was late for the game. It didn't matter. The Suns got the win. So when we come back here on the Burns and Gambo Show, between DeAndre Ayton's missed COVID test and a sloppy first quarter, the Suns' bubble run looked like it was going to pop. What was the turning point for the Suns in their win over the Thunder? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.